Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's Low Odor Spray Paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum Spray Paints now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Looking for connection, support, and real conversations around mental health? Join NAMI Sheridan's Spring Education Series every Monday evening, now through April. Each week features a different topic designed to support individuals, families, and our community. Join us at St. Peter's Episcopal Church for a free dinner at 5:30, followed by the presentation at 6:30 with free childcare. These events are open to everyone. Come as you are and be part of the conversation. Learn more at NAMI Sheridan on Facebook or at namisheridan.org.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Aaron Palmer.
And good morning and welcome to Public Pulse, 930 AM KROE. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting. I think he'll be back tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll find out. Today we have a two-part show. On part one, we have the Bighorn City Historical Society.
That's right.
And we have Mike Kuzara.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes.
And then we have Judy Slack.
Yes.
Okay, and your titles are?
I'm Il Presidente.
Okay, and Judy?
And I'm the Vice President.
Okay. This... I've never heard of this before. Is this something new or something that we're just finding out about?
Well, we're one of our best kept secrets.
I see.
It's been in existence since 1990, so 35 years, and accomplished quite a bit of things in the process. It just we just failed to toot our own horn.
Well, that would explain a lot.
I mean, like the Miss Indian America reunion.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sponsor the Bozeman Trail Museum in Bighorn.
Okay. So there's a lot, you guys are concentrating on the historical aspects around Bighorn itself.
Correct. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And there's enough there to continue doing this, really? I mean, and I don't mean that the way that sounds.
It's every month.
Bighorn's kind of a tiny little community, but there's a lot of history there, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
And we draw a lot of people from Sheridan and surrounding areas. And we've had all kinds of people in. We've had American natives from four different tribes now come in and give us talks on a lot of different subjects pertaining to American Indians.
Yeah.
And had Joe Medicine Crow twice, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And Reba Turan is putting together a Shoshone language resurrection. I have her... dictionary and language discs and everything so that you can actually, if you want to learn to speak Shoshone, you can order those and learn the language.
I wish a lot more tribes would do that, you know, to keep their language alive. It seems like you hear different younger generations from tribes all over the country where they don't know their native language, and I would like to see... that continue.
Well, the crows have their language resurrection up there too. It's just like one time I asked one of the guys up there at the museum at the Custer site. I said, "What did your crow people call Sheridan area?" He says, "Beni Sipi Pili," and I said, "What does that mean?" "The camping place." And I have an idea that this evolved, and it was a rather recent thing because the Rice family used to live in the reservation up there. They moved to Sheridan in 1947 and established the ranch out there. And their Crow friends would camp on the ranch every year when they came down to the rodeo. And so the area probably got its moniker from that. It was it's a kind of a local thing. So, of course, that doesn't happen anymore, but that's what all of us local people call the Indian camp there on the Rice Ranch. It's just a oxbow in the river where they all camped out.
That was pretty common in this area, I guess, because if you go over and look at Ten Sleep, you know, that area was a place where they camped, and I can't remember the exact story, but there was a some place up in Montana on the Yellowstone that they went every year, and then they went back down around Casper, North Platte. But Ten Sleep was 10 sleeps from one place to the other. And
right.
So this whole area, not just the eastern, but the western half as well of the Bighorns, the old native peoples, you know, use this as camping area, I guess.
So we have these meetings every month, except for about July and August. And it's been going on for 35 years, and we've had such a variety of people come in and give us talks about all kinds of things, especially the old pioneers. Good gosh, you name it. Of course, one of the famous, popular ones are related to the invasion of Johnson County.
Oh, sure.
And you get some interesting perspectives on that, things that people will tell you about, and this is for your consumption only, but I'm not putting it down in black and white type of thing.
Gotcha.
Okay.
There's still families around Johnson County that were involved in that, and there's still a little bit of animosity, I guess, depending on which side they're looking at. But yeah, still 100 and some odd years later.
Some residual effects.
Yeah, still.
Mm-hmm. And we record our meetings as well. So after every program, I upload them to our YouTube channel. So if you miss a program, it's on our YouTube channel. We only started that a couple of years ago, but we have about 100 videos now on our YouTube channel. And we also have some of them transcribed and available for people to research.
Yeah.
And then we also publish books. So.
Oh, yeah, the books. Man, we've got, wow, the Acadia business.
Acadia Printing, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the books that they printed, we printed, I didn't have a lot to do with it, but it was sure something you put together, and that was Oliver Hanna.
Yes.
That was an old pioneer, and he built the first house in this area. Actually, as far as someone who got around and was involved in everything in this area here, it's far more interesting than Jim Bridger ever was. He was on an expedition that came down in here looking for gold 2 years before the Custer fight. I think it was 1874, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And they fought the same Indians that Custer fought every day. And they only lost three guys. So there's
big difference.
Big difference. And it is the major fights, but they did their stuff. They were fully prepared. They actually had a little cannon. And they kept the Indians at bay with that.
That would have helped, for sure.
And then when they left, they were harassed. They forgot about looking for gold. They were just trying to save their...
trying to survive.
Yeah. And they didn't want the Indians to get their hands on their ammunition for the cannon. And they buried it near the walls of the Fort C.F. Smith. And another historian, Glenn Sweem, had Hannah's notes. He went up there and, using Hannah's notes, found that stuff. I saw the ammunition in his basement. He had dug it up and found it and brought it home.
Wow.
So just all kinds of things that people just don't know.
Yeah. Are, a lot more history here than...
Oh, absolutely.
...than we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask a quick question here. The society itself, Historical Society, how many people do you have as members?
We're up about 250 members.
Wow.
And many of those are out of state.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you have quite a few that go to these different presentations.
We have about 50 members who come on a regular basis to our meetings.
Okay. If somebody's interested in this, they don't necessarily obviously have to be a resident of Bighorn.
No.
But if they're interested in joining and seeing a lot of this stuff, how do they go about doing that?
We have a website in bighorncity.org, and all our meetings are posted on there, our announcements and whatnot.
Okay.
And they're welcome to come. It's not every fourth Sunday we have to have the Bighorn Women's Club available to us. And so it's not always the fourth Sunday of every month. We meet at 1 o'clock with the potluck lunch, and then at 2 o'clock is when our programs start. But anybody's welcome to come.
Okay.
Yeah, the dinners are great.
Well, yeah, if you have people cooking and bringing it, it should be pretty good. Yeah.
And then in the summertime, we have our museum open, and they're open Saturdays and Sundays, 11 to 4.
The museum itself is historical. Remember that. It's the old blacksmith shop that's been there since the 1880s.
In Bighorn. Okay.
It's probably one of the oldest buildings in Sheridan County.
It's full of real unique stuff. I feel uncomfortable going there. They've got a lot of old tools and things. See, I'm going to be 87 here so shortly.
I see this stuff and it makes
me uncomfortable because I used to use it.
Right. I've got things in my garage from my dad that same thing, you know, like old spigots for the old metal oil can. This, you know, crazy stuff that people don't have any idea what they are now.
Yeah.
But still have it. Interesting. Well, you had some things you wanted to touch on there?
Well, I'll just tell you who our board members are.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Barb Spola, she represents the Bighorn Women's Club.
Okay.
And Todd Wold and Tony Garber and Patty Jingles. And one of our most recent events was that we took our first historic preservation easement on a site called the French Pete site. And it's the generosity of Larry and Mary Durante who gave us this site. And we've taken it all the way to the state SHPO office, the state historic preservation office, and they have agreed with us to preserve the site. So we just had that easement signed a week ago.
And it took quite a while to get the easement pared down. It was copy and pasted from an easement developed in Jackson. And it was very comprehensive, 22 pages. And so we changed, had to edit a lot of the language in there, which wasn't pertinent to the site and everything. And if you don't know about the site, can we briefly describe what happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
There? He was a trader. And he had a wagon and some helpers, maybe even had two wagons, I don't know.
He did.
Two wagons, and he was on his way up in to trade with the Indians, and he did quite well. He had friendly relations with them, sort of, because he was married to a Sioux woman. They had a little family there and everything. But he was headed north, and the Indians were on the warpath there, sort of, and they had stolen a bunch of horses from the fort, and the soldiers that were chasing the Indians down found French Pete and his group headed north, and they said, the Indians are getting feisty. You guys better head back to the fort. And so they turned around, and they were on their way back to Fort Phil Kearny, and later on the soldiers came back by there, and they found what was left of that
the
group.
Party.
And they buried,
four of them.
Four guys on the site. The others were scattered along the way, and the soldiers took some of the remains back to the fort. But what we want to do is get cadaver dogs out there and find these grave sites and mark them. Now, the bodies were found later on and disinterred and everything, but we want to mark that spot. And the ruts for the trail are still there. And there's probably a bunch of artifacts. Now, Larry found some that were there with his metal detector. We were discouraged from doing any more of that until we get it properly documented, because the contention is, well, if you have these artifacts, you could have got them on eBay. You need to, if you find something like that, it needs to be documented by somebody who's had some archaeological experience. And so that's what we're going to do. Anything else in there, we're not going to disturb anything until such a time as it can be properly documented and exhumed, if you want to put it that way. But we do want to mark those spots where those guys were killed. And you can still see the ruts from the old Bozeman Trail, which was used by the Rock Creek to Fort Custer stagecoach route. And one of the drivers on there was either the grandfather or great-grandfather of our county coroner, Robert Byrd.
Won't be darned.
And that stagecoach ran from 1877 to 1897.
Quite a long time.
And followed the Bozeman Trail in a general fashion. And it took 96 hours to go from Rock Creek down on the UP Railroad up to Fort Custer, which was built on the Bighorn River up near Hardin in 1877, a year after the Custer Battle, with material brought up the Bighorn River on a steamboat.
Interesting. Let me stop you right there. We're going to take a break, but we want to come back. I want to finish up on this and touch on a few other things. With me this morning, Mike Kazara and Judy Slack with the Bighorn Historical Society, Bighorn City Historical Society. We'll be back right after this.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
To really enjoy Wyoming's outdoors, it helps to have skills. If you, your family, or 12 to 15-year-old wants to learn hunting, fishing, and outdoor skills, consider one of the camps offered by the Wyoming Game and Fish this summer. Applications for 2026 camps are on the Game and Fish website beginning January 1st. Learn the basics of hunting, fishing, and the outdoors in the midst of spectacular scenery. There's youth camps, camps for women, and camps for families. Game and Fish website has details. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The weather is perfect and garage sale season is in full swing. Every weekend, bargain hunters are hitting the streets, and guess where they're searching for the garage sales? SheridanMedia.com's garage sale page. It's the third most overall visited page all year long. Why not advertise your business on the garage sale page in front of thousands of eager shoppers? Get on the garage sale page and turn their treasure hunt into your own chest of gold. Contact us today at 672-7421 to lock in your spot today. Space is limited.
Hi, I'm Chris, the Prognosticator Herbst, VIP champion representing First Northern Bank. I plan on keeping the trophy, which is proudly displayed on my desk. Here's what happened during the morning show this week.
Duke and St. John's, what do you think?
I flipped a little bit on this one from my original. Oh. Rick Pitino, head coach for St. John's. He's been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And Duke, a younger coach. And I think Rick Pitino, known vampire Rick Pitino. And he's going to live forever. He's going to be coaching forever.
I know, right?
And I think he can pull it out here for St. John's.
March Mania, presented by First Northern Bank. Which VIP will take home the traveling trophy? Make your March Mania bracket picks for a chance to win three different prizes from Kilpatrick Creations. Prizes for the overall bracket, the Savory 16 bracket, and the Fab 4 bracket. Listen every Wednesday morning at 7:40 on KROE 103.9 to hear how March Mania plays out. Make your bracket picks on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
News Talk 930 KROE, Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting on Public Pulse. Joining me on part one are Mike Kuzara and Judy Slack. They're with the Bighorn City Historical Society. And interesting stuff. Let's finish up on what you were talking about. Where is this site at that you were talking about? And let's kind of go there a little bit. You said you had a dedication coming up.
Yeah, French. French Peach site there.
Go ahead.
Upper Prairie Dog Creek.
Okay.
Not far from the Banner Community Hall.
Okay.
And on the property of Larry and Mary Durante.
Okay.
And you can see the Fetterman Hill site from there. It's about 2 miles to the south of there.
Okay.
So that was that particular spot saw a lot of activity. We think that also, in addition to French Pete being caught there by the Indians at a later date, there was a wagon train that was met by an expedition from Fort C.F. Smith. These soldiers walked from Fort C.F. Smith.
That's clear from Montana, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
To meet a wagon train from Fort Reno, or which originated clear down on the Fort Laramie, and they were on their way to Fort C.F. Smith, and this officer that was in charge of that group turned it over to Lieutenant Shirley, who met them there near where Larry Durante's place is, and then they were escorting them up, and they were trapped in here on Prairie Dog Creek, only 5 miles out of Sheridan, and held in there for 2 days and a night by about 700 Indians.
Had to do it.
Desperate fight, far more involved and everything, and it just totally is, there's no marker, there's very little information about that, and this is something that I personally would like to explore some more along with the Higbee Road Project, which was the only way out of Sheridan for 30 years north. But
okay.
Judy has a whole bunch of stuff to do.
So one of the things we want to do this summer is to have a dedication and install a plaque at the French Pete site. Mm-hmm. And that'll be July 17. And that would be 160 years after the event had occurred. And we'll have, it's just right along the road where we're going to have our plaque. And so that's going to be probably in the morning of July 17th. And that'll be sort of our 250th celebration as our historical society to the public.
Sure.
And then we also are going to have a quilt show at the museum throughout the summer, and we'll feature different quilts at the museum. So that's one of the things we want to do. And then we're republishing the Bighorn Pioneer book. We just received the copyright on that from the school district. So we're republishing the Bighorn Pioneer book. We just recently republished the Melvin Ralston cookbook and added a chapter on when the Queen visited and Melvin cooked for the Queen. And we had also Don McKinnon, who came, and he knew Melvin as well and knew the Queen. So we added another chapter in the cookbook. And we're also redoing the Trabing catalog for Nancy Mickelson.
Yeah.
And we just received that job.
That's and store down there by
Trabing.
Yeah.
South of Buffalo.
Trabing Road. Trabing
yes.
Area. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So we've done several books. I've been involved with about 26 publications. We just finished helping the Garber family on a book called A Far View. So we as a historical society help pioneer families preserve their history. So we are just now finishing up other projects. We will accept any kind of document or photographs, and we scan those in for the families. And then if we can use them in our historical society newsletter or in books, then we have an agreement with these families to do so. We just recently finished a book on Teepee, the history of Teepee Lodge. And then we worked with Fort Phil Kearny Bozeman Trail Association and published a book on Carrington. And that was another project we did a couple of years ago. So we work with other historical societies and historical families who are here, and we just keep publishing.
So if there are families out there that are tied to this land for, you know, the last 150 years, they can just contact you and
yes.
share their information, share their family yes. stories.
Our board has put together a budget so that we can have my crew, who are scanners, and I train them how to scan, and we do different, like the interviews that Barb does. We recently just purchased a new camera, And so we can now go outside and do interviews outside with wireless microphones.
Yeah, that one we did there, we used a regular camera and the wind was blowing and it just didn't work that well. So we're gonna redo that whole thing.
Always have to update your technology.
Yeah. Yes. Always. And Mike is an expert on the Higbee Road area and Kazaraville. And one of our most famous videos on our website is the history of Kazaraville. And that's not Bighorn, but it's definitely a very popular program.
Yeah, my family actually owned a town. It was on the map. Not there now.
There's a lot of those in Wyoming. There's a bunch down around Casper and Midwest as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And one of our other famous programs that still people look at is The Cabin in the Sky with Matt Westcott. Mm-hmm. That was a really very important preservation of a cabin and the history, and he's doing a wonderful job in preserving that cabin.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're about out of time here. Let's go ahead and touch on some things real quick. The Bighorn City Historical Society, where can people go if they're interested? Again.
Well, the site.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The bighorncity.org site. Mm-hmm. We're on the internet. We also should have Cynthia Vinoy also places different articles through your radio station for us. She's been really good to support us and get that information out for the media.
Yep.
We want to make sure that people know that we are the Bozeman Trail Museum in Bighorn.
Okay.
We are not the museum at the Bighorns. That's at the Woolworth building.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's in Sheridan, not Bighorn.
That's in Sheridan. And we work well with Carrie. We're going to actually help Carrie and Chip at the museum in Sheridan. My crew is going to go in and help them with their collection. So,
well, there are contact numbers if someone wants to actually look in the museum and see something that's not open all the time. We have a hard time. Since it's a small venue, it's not something that anybody would feel comfortable staying in there, you know, 8 hours a day on endlessly.
Right.
Well, it's not heated and it's not air conditioned. It's just a shed. But our sign is on the building
as
well.
It serves its purpose. Gotcha. Well, it's nice to see that you guys are talking about collaborating with or working with other historical societies, other museums in this area. And I'm glad to see that, because if we go to, say, the museum, the Gatchel in Buffalo, there are a bunch of exhibits there or pieces that are from the Custer Battlefield or from areas around there. And so all of this stuff is all intertwined.
Yes, in
with
fact,
everybody else.
I work well with Sylvia. We're working on another project for a common pioneer family, and we might have another collaboration with a book publishing, and it would be something not published before on the Johnson County Cattle War. And then I'm also working with the Hardin Museum, and Gina, who is in charge of the archives at the Hardin Museum, we are training her on what we do with our equipment. And so I go up there to days a month to help them volunteer with their collection.
And so we're fortunate to have Shane and Forrest Dunning, who have a lot of information on the Northern Cheyenne, and I've worked with the Northern Cheyenne too, and I was the telephone man for Range Telephone, so I covered that whole area.
All right. And, okay. We're gonna cut it short right there. We could spend another couple hours talking about this. But if people are interested in any of it, they want to see the museum, get it involved in any way, what's your website again?
Bighorncity.org.
Okay. And that's the Bighorn City Historical Society. Thank you so much, President Mike Kazara and Vice President Judy Slack. Thank you so much for joining us. Interesting. I wish we had more time.
Thanks.
Me too.
We'll be back right after this.
Sheridan, I'm Nicole Pierce.
And I'm Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Dreaming about owning your first home?
The Mortgage Rate Relief Program could lower your interest rate by 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That means real monthly savings.
It's available to qualifying homebuyers purchasing a primary residence.
Let's see if you qualify.
Funds are limited, so stop in, call us, or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Homeownership just got more affordable. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Man, oh man, it is great to be on the open road again. I'm looking forward to this hunting trip.
Yeah, me too. I am ready to hit the woods. But these wind farms we keep seeing, they are pissing me off. Let's turn on the radio and get some good news.
President Trump announced today his plan to terminate new windmill contracts.
We don't allow windmills. We're not allowing any windmills to go up. I
mean, hey, President Trump's got it right, but that Chuck Gray guy running for Congress is dead wrong.
Yeah, Gray voted to license windmills in Wyoming. You believe that? The one we just passed should have Chuck Gray's name all over it. Unfriggin' real.
Hey, what about Reed Raisner? Where's he stand?
Ah, Raisner's 100% MAGA. He'll help Trump kill the windmills, end the Green New Deal scam, and make America energy dominant. Reed Raisner's our kind of guy.
Right. Reed Raisner knows more American energy means more Wyoming jobs. Drill, baby, drill.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, and long drives down the fairway? So are we. Get ready for the 2026 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted Pass is now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanWY.net through March 31st. Yep, the grass will be greening up before you know it. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Before there was a Frackleton's restaurant, this building was home to Dr. Frackleton, the sagebrush dentist who patched up cowboys, Native American chiefs, and anybody tough enough to sit still. No frills, no shortcuts, just steady hands and work done right. That same Frackleton spirit lives on today. Good food prepared with care, well-poured drinks, friendly service, and world-class cuisine. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care, to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Welcome back to Public Pulse on News Talk 930 KROE. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting, who I believe will be back tomorrow, but I'm not sure. At least I know I'm not going to be in tomorrow, so he probably will be. Anyway, part two of today's show, we have, let me see here. I had it. John Graves and Brad Bauer with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. Good morning.
Good morning.
I had to look at my notes there. Yeah. I had, thought I had it marked right, but
morning, Aaron.
Okay, good morning. Yeah. Brad, you've been in a time or two when I've been here, so we're familiar, but John, I'm first time I met you.
Yeah, nice to meet you today.
Have you been with the Land Trust for a while, and I just haven't seen you, or what?
Yeah, going on a year and a half, okay, about then, yeah. Doing all of our conservation work, working with the great producers and landowners here in the county. It's been fantastic, and we have a couple new items we're coming out with that we're really excited about. Some new projects, some new opportunities for landowners and cattle producers, which we're really excited about.
And that's what we're talking about today. So do you want to just kick it off, John, or Absolutely. Brad, which one of you guys want to take it?
So virtual fencing, it's been a hot topic for, you know, a couple years now, and we've really worked with a lot of producers here in Sheridan County on virtual fencing, various levels. And so our next opportunity, our next pilot project we're doing is with small producers here in the county. And so virtual fencing, for the most part, has kind of been limited to those ranchers and producers out there with 100 head or more of cattle. And that's great. That's awesome. We get this virtual fence technology out there, help these producers, help these landowners. But what about people with less than 100 head, specifically smaller producers, less than 50 head? So that's what our new pilot project is really going to tackle is we've set up, we received a great grant from the Plank Stewardship Initiative. They're a fantastic partner of ours. And we received money to help cover the cost of virtual fencing for small producers. We'll be covering half of the cost of the collars for these producers, and then the producers will cover the other half of the cost, which is about $45. We'll work with them to get their cattle collared. We'll work with them to train them on how virtual fencing can help them, what it can do, how they can save time, save efficiencies of not having to go out there, move their herd constantly on horseback, on ATV, not have to run temporary fence, fix permanent fence, across fencing. We'll be working with them to improve their grazing efficiencies through the use of these collars, working with them to protect other sensitive habitats, such as wetland areas, keep the cattle away from stock tanks that might not be working right then. There's a whole host of solutions that virtual fencing can provide to these small producers, and we're really excited. We have a great partner with Halter. That is the service provider for virtual fencing that we've been working with, and doing this really, really has shown on the larger scale that it can save so much time for these large-scale producers. But as we know, these smaller producers, this might be their part-time job. So if we can work with them to save time through virtual fencing, using their phone, using their app so they can be at home, this prevents them from having to be out in the pasture on their weekends, on their day off. They can spend that time doing something else, spending time with the family, relaxing, enjoying the great outdoors that we have here. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, or they can certainly spend time with their livestock doing something other than moving fences. So the way these virtual fences work, if you're not familiar, is it's essentially like an invisible dog fence.
Okay.
So you draw a polygon, draw a shape on your phone with an app of where the cows are supposed to be. And then you can modify that shape again with your phone app and move them around. So you're just essentially moving this invisible fence around your pasture. And like John said, you can exclude certain areas or you can come back to certain areas that maybe have some additional forage in there. It allows you to have as many pastures as you want in within your ownership space or your managing space that you operate in. And the way it works with these cows is they wear this collar. It sits out right behind their head on their neck, and it's got little solar panels that keep it charged, and they get sound cues that tell them when they're approaching that boundary, that invisible fence boundary. And then as they get trained, and they train pretty quickly, it'll turn them one way or the other to away from that invisible boundary. And they're pretty smart. They figure it out pretty quickly. And it allows, like John was saying, allows a producer, in this case, a smaller size producer, that opportunity to have extensive pasture management if they're into it without having all the time put into having temporary fences. And it also then adds the benefit of it's great for wildlife as well, because instead of having all these fences on the landscape, you can have them virtual. So the livestock or the wildlife don't know that there's a virtual fence there. They can just go right across the fields as if there's nothing there.
Well, let me ask a quick question, because like with these dog collar similar things, with a lot of these, you have to have something to bury in your yard or something there. But this technology doesn't require that. So apparently it's when you program this into your phone, these two items, your phone, so to speak, and then the collar talk to each other and they just know, hey, this is where you cannot go. So exactly. There's nothing that you have to bury out there. And then you can, as you said, adjust this on the fly if you need to. That's crazy. When did this technology happen?
This technology is amazing, like you said. And the technology has been around for about 3 years. It pretty much started over New Zealand.
Okay.
And then it came to the United States about 2 years ago. But it's really hit mainstream in the last 8 months to a year.
Huh.
And you're absolutely right. There is no bearing of a wire or anything like that. The concept that you mentioned with the dog collar, the old invisible fence, like we're all aware of, that's very similar to this, but there's no hard infrastructure like that. And so these collars are GPS based, and so they communicate back to towers, to cell towers and the like, and then from there it goes down into your phone, into the special halter app on your phone. And so that is how you manage it. And so beyond being able to draw an infinite number of pastures exactly where you want your animals to graze, there's that GPS component too. And so you can see exactly where your animals are. You can see that your whole herd is where they're supposed to be, or, oh no, one got out for whatever reason. You know, it does happen. You know, these collars are great and the cattle really respond to them and really respect them. But hey, we all know that there's sometimes there's that old cow that doesn't want to listen all the time. You know, the majority of the time they'll stay where they're supposed to be, but things happen. We all know that. And that's what's great about this app too, is it'll tell you. It'll show you on the map, hey, you have a cow out, but you will see that you can get them back in. You can find them, bring them back in, which is great.
They're right there. You can see it right on your phone.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
You know, especially as we look into this summer coming up, who knows what the drought's going to bring? Who knows what the moisture is going to bring? And so with virtual fencing and being able to infinitely expand your fence lines and put them where you want to, you can move your cattle to graze areas that they might not typically graze under normal situations. And so, you know, if you have a hilltop that you want to have them hit for a day, you can move your herd up to that hilltop, get them to graze it down really quick, move them onto another area. So we can see this being used to increase grazing efficiencies and potentially even increase stocking rates for producers. If they can increase their stocking rate, that'll greatly help their bottom line. So all around, we're seeing this as a win-win. We want to get this technology into the hands of these producers to show that it can work on a scalable level. We know it works for the big guys. We want to see it, and we know it will, but we want to see it work for the small producers as well.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. According to this, the producers need to apply for this?
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously there's so only so many that you can do this for. Gotcha. So what do they do? What are the criteria for applying?
So to be eligible, you need to be a smaller producer within the area, less than 50 head, but more than 10 head. And we're able to work with up to collar up to 250 head of cattle. And so however the math shakes out, we're looking for about 5 to 10 producers to work with for a 3-year period. All the information is on our website, SheridanCLT.org. People can go there. There's a link right at the top. They can apply. They can contact me with any questions they have. Maybe they're not so sure if this would be right for them. Give me a call. Shoot me an email. We'll talk it through and explain all the details. There's a lot of details to it. Way more than we can cover today on Public Pulse, but we're excited to work with landowners, and that's what we're setting out to do. It's gonna be great.
Interesting. If people are interested, get to the website and you'll talk to them. Okay. We're gonna take a quick break. We have one more item to cover when we come back. Joining me this morning, John Graves and Brad Bauer with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. Interesting stuff. We'll be back with the second part after this.
Marin, everyone keeps asking, are rates ever going to help buyers?
Actually, yes. I'm Marin Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
That can make a big difference in monthly payments.
If you're buying your primary home, you may qualify.
Funds are limited, so call us today or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Let's get you into your home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
REACH, Resources, Education, Autism, Community Harmony, presents the 3rd Annual REACH Benefit Concert, Saturday, April 11th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. An awesome evening of food and music featuring country singer-songwriter Jessica Lynn.
I got this crazy idea.
And more outstanding performers, including Stereo Pilot with Stephanie Wilkerson and Paul Radsey, Rich Braddon, Carson Norling, Art Eichley, and another surprise Grammy Award-winning guest appearance.
Food and drink concessions by NOLA.
The doors open at 6:15. General admission tickets are $42, available online at yotheater.com. Limited tables also available by calling Raleigh at 752-7712.
Proceeds from the evening benefit REACH.
The 3rd Annual REACH Benefit Concert with Jessica Lynn, 6:15, Saturday, April 11th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by your friends at Sheridan Media.
The following message is presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, online at efirstfederal.bank.
In a world where honor is earned in the arena, the Knights of Valor return once more. On July 25th, the Sharon County Fairgrounds will transform into a battleground of courage, the class of steel, thundering hooves, and a full-day Renaissance fun for the whole family. Prepare for heart-pounding jousts, heroic feats, and a day steeped in legendary adventure. Tickets go on sale May 1st. Save the date and witness the return of the Tournament of Knights.
Welcome back to Public Pulse on News Talk 930 KROE. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting. Joining me on part two of today's show is Brad Bauer and John Graves, both with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. We talked about this virtual fencing. We're not going to get into that because we don't have time. But again, if people want to check into this or look into it, what do they do? What's the website?
Head on over to our website, SheridanCLT.org. Feel free to contact me and we'll answer all your questions.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, the second part of this, conservation that works for ranchers. And that's you again?
That's us. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, for the past 20 years, Sheridan Community Land Trust has been working on conservation easements in this county. And through that time, we've worked with amazing landowners. And we're now at a point where we feel that we have the capacity and the expertise and the knowledge to look beyond our borders of the county. Bring in Johnson County. As our name says, Sheridan Community Land Trust, right? Johnson County and Sheridan County, we're all part of the same community. We have so many people that transfer that travel back and forth between the two counties for recreation, for family,
to work,
yeah. All the things. And so it's just a larger community. And so where we are now as an organization, we are looking to expand our services for conservation easements. For those that don't know, conservation easements really set out to keep working lands working, to protect the land that the landowner has, keep it the way it is now forever. And so we're really, really excited about this opportunity to expand. So coming up, we'll be having an event down in Johnson County, specifically in Buffalo, at the Johnson County Library. It's going to be Saturday, April 11th from 10:30 to 11:30. We'll be down there talking about all the different things that relate to conservation easements, explaining it, the ins and outs of it, how long it takes, timelines, what kind of dispelling some myths about conservation easements, answering questions, and then just allowing the landowners of Johnson County to meet us. We'll be down there. We'll give a short presentation, some small snacks and hors d'oeuvres, and then we'll just be around to answer whatever questions landowners have.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I guess we're just excited to bring this opportunity to have some partners in Johnson County. And, you know, John's work with us in Sheridan County has been fantastic. And just having John as part of the team, John's a bison rancher and has been able to bring these other projects to the Sheridan Community Land Trust, like virtual fencing. And it's just, this is the next obvious step for us as an organization. And, you know, hopefully it's a good turnout. I'm sure it'll be a long road ahead. You know, these conservation easements are a long road. It's a forever agreement. It's voluntary, but there are forever agreement with landowners. And you know, the main goal, as John said, is to keep these working lands working, providing food for our communities, providing wildlife habitat, providing open space that we, you know, is important part of our view of ourselves as a community, and places for healthy rivers and waters. And so these tools, you know, are just it's not the right tool for everybody, but if you heard about conservation easements and want to know a little bit more about conservation easements and you're in Johnson County, or even if you're in Sheridan County, welcome you to come down to Buffalo, to the Sheridan or to the Johnson County Library on April 11th. That's a Saturday from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. and learn a little bit more and learn a little bit more about us as well.
Okay. More information available on the website,
which is correct. SheridanCLT.org. You know, as we go to this event, it's not a sales pitch. You know, people ask me that. This is not a sales pitch. We're just there to answer questions.
Okay.
We want to work with the landowners that want to protect their land. And so we want to answer all their questions, make sure they are fully aware and understand everything. And we'll go from there and continue to have a great conversation.
Well, and as you said, Brad, this isn't for everyone, but there are people out there that this would be the perfect solution for whatever their issue is. So these are the people you're trying to reach. Again, you're not there to go, hey, we need to do this. It's for the people that are looking at this or the possibility
and then gaining more information.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We've seen over the years, you know, the types of folks that this is a good tool for are folks considering estate planning and their land legacy, you know,
right.
Or folks who, some of these conservation easements could come with a cash payment. So some folks who have a mortgage that they want to help pay down so that they can make it easier for that next generation to continue ranching. The options are, or the strategies that why it's worked right for you is, I guess, as unique as each one of us is. So.
Every individual.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's coming up April 11th. That's a Saturday. And that's at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, Johnson County Library, excuse me. And that's from 10:30 to 11:30. Answer questions and get some more information out there to the people that might be interested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
We're out of time, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. Brad Bauer, and I'm going to get my notes here. John Graves with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. Thank you so much. Information available on the website once again, John.
SheridanCLT.org.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, and I'm sure you'll have people asking questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That'll do it for today's show. Floyd Whiting will be back tomorrow. We will see you later.
Maren Borsheim.
And Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Right now, qualified homebuyers may receive a mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Yes, through the Mortgage Rate Relief Program.
It's designed to make buying your primary residence easier and more affordable.
We'll personally help you check eligibility and guide you through the process.
Call First Federal Bank and Trust for all the details or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ever wonder how HVAC flat rate pricing works? Some companies charge one high fixed price for a repair, whether the job takes 30 minutes or 3 hours. You're paying the same either way. And sometimes warranty parts get overlooked because the flat rate price doesn't change. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we do it differently. We charge time and material. That means you only pay for the actual time on the job, and our service vehicles are GPS tracked, so the time on your invoice matches the time our technician was actually on site. No padded flat rates, no guesses, just honest work and accurate billing. Lee Heating and Cooling, serving Sheridan and the Bighorns.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, and long drives down the fairway? So are we. Get ready for the 2026 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted Bass is now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanWY.net through March 31st. Yep, the grass will be greening up before you know it. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
March brings longer days, fresh air, and new opportunities to make a difference. At CHAPSE Coin Assisted Services, hope grows every day. One connection, one smile, one brave step at a time. Our volunteers support children, adults, and veterans as they build confidence and strength through the healing power of horses. You don't need experience, just a caring heart and a desire to lift someone up. This season, be part of something powerful. Reach out to Lou at volunteercoordinator@chapsyo.org and take the first step. Together, we can help hope bloom across our community.